a lot of people live in denial because they think that to be realistic is to be depressing.
I'm Dr. Mike, host of Going There.
It was the first song where I wrote about how I felt like my depression was killing me and I didn't want it.
Going There breaks the stigma of mental health issues by having real, honest conversations with your favorite musicians, including Alessia Cara, Lizzie Hale, Jewel, Jason Isbell, Gerard Way, Lauren Gray, Shamir, and Barty Strange.
There was something there that was so raw, where I was like, wow, I can't believe someone would say that.
Let's go there on Going There with Dr. Mike, brought to you by Sound Mind Live and the Consequence Podcast Network, every other Tuesday, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Good for a Weekend, the podcast where two friends talk about the Tortured Poets Department,
not society.
I'm MK Ashford.
I'm Cressy Cornis.
And we finally learned the name of the album. It's out, and I know the name, and I called it the right thing. Aren't you so proud of me?
Yes. So we are recording this on a Monday. The album came out on Friday. We've been listening to it nonstop since it came out, and we're ready to dish. But first, let's give a little disclaimer. Just a little, like, let's just like touch base, hold hands a little bit. We might not all agree on this album, and that's okay. If you disagree with our takes, that's fine. But we're not here to yuck your yums. If you love this album, we are happy for you. Spoiler alert. We don't love this album. And we're going to talk about it. We're going to talk through it. We're going to talk about why. But I just want you guys to know, we're not hating on anyone who loves this album. That's totally fine. Music is so subjective. I just want everyone to know right off the top that this is mine and MK's opinion.
Yeah. And it's not ideal.
It's not. We wish it was different.
I do.
We have been listening to this so much, trying to change our minds.
Mine's changed a little. It's there, you know, I'm finding some more positives. I'm also finding more negatives, but I am finding positives where off the bat, not many going on there. So I just had to keep listening, but I don't want to be that Swiftie that's like, well, if I just think about it long enough, I'll gaslight in myself into thinking I like it, because I feel like a lot of us do that.
Yeah.
But I also want to say you don't have to do that. You don't have to like it all.
No.
And you don't have to force yourself to listen to it until you love it.
For sure. She has so many albums.
We have more than enough music.
It is okay if this one isn't for you.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's okay that this isn't for me and you, MK. And it's okay for you, the listener, if it's not for you either. She has so many albums, so many eras, so many tours for the rest of her life. It is okay if this is not the one.
Maybe this just isn't for us. You know, we're not the target audience here.
Yeah, as Swifties who normally love everything she does.
No, it wasn't for us.
No. So let's outline here. Let's do how we listened, first impressions, and then I think we go lows high. So we end on a high note. What do you think?
Should we just kind of like run through it and talk our highs and lows as we go? And if there are some that are in the middle, we just say, didn't have much thought on that one. Let's keep moving.
Okay, we can do that. Disclaimer, this could be a two-parter. There are 31 songs. If we spent 3 minutes on each song, that's an hour and a half.
Exactly.
And we're already a couple minutes in. So this might be a two-parter.
And I think that's okay because she gave us a two-parter.
Yeah.
So if they're two-partering, we can two-parter. That's how I see it.
Yeah,
we have two albums.
Yeah, we have an anthology.
Okay, so listening experience. I had another great one. I don't know if anyone remembers my listening experience for Speak Now. I did like a staycation and stayed in a hotel on Disney property and waited to listen to it till I was in the hotel with all my friends. Did that again. We stayed in a treehouse villa, which is very cool. It was like in the woods. It was very much giving folklore. So that's the vibe I was hoping for. I set up an entire table. Like, I spent money on this to make it so vibey.
Yeah.
There was lace and pearls and feathers and bows on tapered candles. It was gorgeous. And I was with like 6 of my friends and I did wait. Not everyone did, but I waited till we got there and we like airplayed it on the TV super loud. And I did kind of read all the lyrics as I went through, which I believe was a big mistake. Because by the end, it took 2 hours and I had a headache and I hated every song.
You read a book.
I read a novel. And towards the end, I was getting like annoyed. I was like, I hate this. I hate all of this.
Yeah. How many words long is Tortured Poets?
But to be fair, like my first impressions were bad, but I think I set myself up for failure.
I cannot find anything on the internet that says how many words long the Tortured Poets Department is, but someone should do the math and figure it out because I bet it's a lot.
It's got to be a lot.
For sure. I was going to stay up and listen. I fell asleep.
Right, right.
Surprise, surprise.
I can't do that anymore.
But I did successfully avoid the leaks. I was really enjoying this rollout with the Spotify pop-ups, the Apple Music playlist, like all of her teasers. Like, I've really liked this rollout. So I thought, you know what? I'm not going to ruin it for myself. I'm going to avoid TikTok. I'm going to avoid Reddit, Twitter, all of that. And then the night it came out, people were discussing the leaks. And I did hear some commotion about the Charlie Puth lyric. And I was like, uh-oh. Closing out of the apps. I'm done. I'm not going to look up anything. I'm just going to find out if this is real tomorrow morning. It was real, unfortunately. But I went into it very open-minded. I woke up excited. As soon as I woke up, I hit play on Spotify and played it out loud while I was getting ready for work and while I worked that morning. I had no idea it was a double album until I woke up. And I was like, oh, there's like a gabillion more songs. Okay, that's interesting.
Yeah. I found out at 5 a.m. My phone started blowing up when other people in my life were waking up. And I just saw text that said double album, which... like, I feel like was kind of not real of her. Like, she shouldn't have said that because then it sounded like it was like Folklore Evermore, like TS11 and TS12. But it wasn't. It was just like bonus tracks, but at times a million. So, yeah, that stressed me out. And then I was like, oh. And then I was like, we already knew about 4 or 5 of these anyway. So then I just went back to sleep.
So as I was listening, like my very first impression was, okay, this is like a Lover part two. Like, it's lyrically pretty clunky. It's a little bloated. Like, it's just, it's a bit much. And I didn't love Lover, but you know, Lover has some great songs like Cruel Summer, False God, Cornelia Street. Like, it has some really high highs. So I'm a couple songs into this and I'm like, you know what? It's got a weak start. It's probably, it's like Lover. It's not. Lover's better.
Yeah.
Lover has really great bridges and really distinctive songs.
Where are the bridges?
And there's no killer bridge in this entire it's album painful. In all 31 songs. There's no redeeming bridges. There's no redeeming melodies. There, again, and I went into this positively like, okay, this is going to be Lover Part 2. It's going to be a little bloated. It's going to be a bit much. It's going to start off weak, but then like, it's going to get good. Like, we're going to get a Cruel Summer. And then 31 songs later, I kept waiting for that to happen and it never did.
Correct.
So to me, this is below Lover in my ranking now. And Lover is famously my least favorite album by Taylor Swift.
I agree. None of the songs hit me. I was just like waiting for at least one or two. All of them, I would just shake my head and be like, okay. Like, I was like, all right. And then we just kept going. And then I think another big mistake was having all the poppy songs on the original album and all the folky songs on the double album. And so then by the time you get, if you're listening chronologically, by the time you get through like halfway of the anthology, oh my God, you just want to like rip your eyes out. It's so boring. And I don't want to say that about those songs because I don't feel that about like Aaron Dessner production. I don't feel that about Folklore Evermore. No. But they just like the first half sounds like one big song and the second half sounds like one big song. And if she had either intertwined them or made a real not bloated album with just the best from all of them, I think I might feel differently about this because there are songs on multiple listens that stand out. But when you listen to that many at once, like it's hard to find those right off the bat.
It's cohesive to a fault.
It's cohesive to a fault. And if she had picked and chosen from all 31 and made one album that maybe was a little less cohesive, but chose the best songs out of each, I think I would have liked it.
Yeah. And then went back to the editing board with those 10 songs and punched them up and did some lyrical editing and made them a little bit more interesting.
Yeah. Maybe the production isn't boring and tired and the same. Anyway. Jack. Getting a little tired of that boy.
I just feel like she's not being challenged. I don't think they're challenging each other.
No, I don't either. And I think that shows on the production of this album. I think it's all very repetitive, kind of boring. And then when you start really diving in to the ones that are produced by Aaron, you can see that he challenges her in a different way and they sound a little different and a little more interesting. And they're typically less lyrically clunky, try hard.
Yeah. All right, let's start with Fortnite.
Okay. It's fine.
It's fine. It might be her second weakest opener. I do think it's nice. It's nice to have a friend. I forgot that you existed as a little bit weaker than this. Mm-hmm. But from the bat, I was like, all right, this is not great.
No, I think, unfortunately, it is really catchy. It does get stuck in my head. But I like don't really know what she's talking about, like with the neighbors and the garden. But I do like that she talks about murder because that's fun for me. It sounds cheeky.
Yeah, the music video is great. I loved the music video.
Yeah.
It was fun. The black and white, the production, it was great.
Yeah.
But I did like Post Malone's verse. Yeah. That might have been the most interesting part of the song.
He should have sang
and
more.
And he was also great in that music video. He was mm-hmm. good.
I know. I really liked it. Lots of parallels in the music video to Being Funny in a Foreign Language music videos.
Yes. Well, actually, this entire album is just little nods to the 1975 in a way that I think it was written for 1975 fans and not Taylor Swift fans, mm-hmm. which is not the direction she should have taken. Like, I get this, so I like it a little bit, but most people aren't that big of a fan of the 1975, and they're like, why is she talking about breaking bikes?
I know.
Like, it's too niche.
Yeah, and we'll get there. We'll get to the bikes.
Yeah, we'll get. Yeah. Okay.
Okay. So, Fortnite, fine. It started out, and I was like, okay, I could see where this might go well. But then the Tortured Poets Department came on.
That should have been left in the drafts. That should be in the recycling bin on her computer. This is one of the worst songs she has ever written. And it's so... actually, you go ahead, MK. You go ahead. I'll cook later.
I was going to say it's corny.
Cornball.
It's corny. And it sounds like a Bleachers song or a 1975 song mixed. It's not a Taylor Swift song.
In a very derogatory way.
Correct.
And I like the Bleachers and I like the 1975 and I like Taylor Swift.
Yes.
This is all of their three worst qualities put together in a song.
Stay in your lanes, okay?
When she brings up Lucy and Jack, okay, I'm going to get into it. This song and this album is so specific and self-referential and autobiographical to a fault. And part of Taylor Swift's superpowers is that she can be specific to her life. She can be. But she still uses like universal metaphors and themes so that we can all connect to it. Like that's why All Too Well is one of the greatest breakup songs of all time, even though none of us have dated Jake Gyllenhaal.
I've never left my scarf at anyone's house.
No, there are very specific references to her life in her most popular songs, but she still does it in a very universal way. The only person who can relate to this song is Taylor Swift, and I hate it.
Yeah.
It's everything about it is bad. Can we talk about We Declare Charlie Puth should be a better artist? I scratch your head, you fall asleep like a tattooed golden retriever, but you awaken with dread, pounding nails in your head.
I don't know who Dylan Thomas and Patti Smith is. Like,
most people don't. If you're a big music head, you do. But again, this is like written for Maddie Healy, and that's it. This isn't for fans, you know?
Also, like, you smoked and ate 7 bars of chocolate. Like, really? We gotta say chocolate?
Yeah.
That's a 1975 song for anyone who doesn't know.
Yeah.
Mm-mm, I just don't like it. I chose this cyclone with you. It's just so corny.
And I have to talk about, at dinner, you take my ring off my middle finger. Okay, I get it. But then she keeps going and put it on the one people put wedding rings on. Taylor, we get it. And there are so many lines like this in this album that's like, oh, I'm going to like keep going in case you guys don't understand. Like, it's not a swing. It's a children's swing. It's not put it on that finger. By the way, it's the one that people get married with. Like, yeah, we know. Like, it's just so clunky.
Yeah, she puts too many words in.
And if she, maybe she needs to work with Liz Rose again so she can start redlining these extra lines. But, I mean, she could have cut 25% of this song.
Or the whole thing. I don't know. Whatever.
Yeah, she actually should have just scrapped it, as we said earlier. But, yeah, this is probably among the worst on the album for me. It's bad.
Okay. My Boy Only Breaks His Favorite Toys. This one is very low for me.
It's just fine.
I don't even want to listen to it.
I'm just so bored with the childhood imagery and like the schools and like the sandcastles, like we're playing with toys. It's just so tiresome at this point. And this whole song is like childhood imagery. And like sometimes that really fucking works, you know? but this just doesn't, like, it's just not deep. It's not interesting. Like, he was my best friend down at the Sandlot. Okay. That's a weak metaphor. Weak, like, so weak. And with all the Kens, like, yeah, it's just weak.
I just think it's boring. It's not lyrically interesting. The production's boring. The melody's kind of boring.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Down Bad, I think a lot of people really enjoy. I know a lot of my friends like it. And I get what they mean. I get why people like it.
But you don't like it.
Yeah.
Care to elaborate? I like it sonically. Mm-hmm. I like the way it sounds. I like the chorus, like, down there crying at the gym. Like, it's fun.
Yeah.
But when I listen too hard, I'm like, this is pretty corny.
Exactly.
Sonically, it's higher on the album. It is a little bit more interesting. I mean, the production is still quite boring, but the chorus is interesting at least.
And it does have a bridge.
It has one.
It's not like the best one I've ever heard, but like some of them don't even really have one. So this one has one. I do like how she calls back to, like, how dare you think it's romantic to leave me safe and stranded.
Yeah.
But sometimes, like, I feel like on this album, like, we're just getting a little too many callbacks. I saw a tweet about how it feels like you have to, like, be in the Marvel universe now. Like you can't just go see a Marvel movie anymore. Like, you have to know the MCU because there's a million movies, a million characters, a million backstories. And if you don't know all of them and you go to a movie, you're bound to be confused at some point. And I just feel like now, like, to even enter to be a Taylor Swift fan, you have to know all this lore.
Yeah.
And, like, if you weren't me, how would you know that that's a callback to New Romantics? Like, and then it's not an interesting lyric if you don't know that.
Again, like, she used to make her specific life experiences very universal metaphors. We still haven't gotten to that point yet in this album. Again, this is like something she wrote for herself and Maddie Healy.
Yeah.
Because even as fans, even though you and I are catching these references and we're catching the 1975 references because we're big fans of them, mm-hmm. it's still like, okay, but when am I, like, it's like reading a book. Like, I can't relate. And what makes Taylor Swift such a superpower is how relatable her songs are.
Yeah. I don't know how to explain this well, like, but what you're touching on, like, usually when I listen to her songs, I feel like she's my friend because she is, like, there for me because she understands what I've been through and I know she's been through it and we can, like, bond over that. That sounds really embarrassing to say because I obviously don't know her.
It's, like, universal womanhood and girlhood themes.
Yeah, but when that's I listen to this album, I feel like she's that friend that's just, like, talking at me. And I'm like, oh, okay. Like, sorry. And, like, you just, like, don't really know what to say.
Yeah.
And I hate to say that they have to be relatable because why? She should be able to, like, write about her life. And if I can't relate to it, then that's my problem. But, like,
for sure.
But that's not, like, who I know.
Think about her previous work that we all love that we might not be in a place in our life that we relate to it now. Like,
yeah,
there are some love songs I don't relate to all too well right now, but, like, I still love it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why it works. This has no longevity because it's so specific, as you're saying. And it sounds like she's talking at us. It also sounds like she's lecturing us. Like, she's at a podium and she's just yapping.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. I feel like to that point too, I feel like she knew what people are saying about her music now that she's so popular and people have been touching on and expanding on why she is so famous and why girls love her so much that she's becoming a parody of herself. Like, she's been compared to Shakespeare and, like, is this Taylor Swift or Shakespeare? Like, that kind of stuff. And she's, like, trying to play that part that it's becoming camp.
I would argue that purposeful camp is usually good.
But I don't think it's on purpose. No, like, I would say parody over camp.
Yeah, it's kitsch.
Yeah. I just feel like she's trying too hard to be that thing that we all said she was.
Before we get into the next song, let's take a quick break for a word from our sponsors. Thank you and welcome back.
All right, okay, my first song that I actually liked. I do like So Long, London.
It is interesting.
It's a good Jover song. The beat in the background makes me anxious in the same way, like, Out of the Woods beat does. Mm-hmm. And I think that was probably on purpose. It's, like, got an anxious, like, pounding in the background, which I like. I thought maybe saying Stitches Undone was a callback to Glitch.
Mm-hmm.
the hook is boring, but the verses and the bridge are really good.
So now that we've gotten to the first It's Jover song, there is something I want us to talk about, and that is the marketing of this album by Taylor Swift, of it being an It's Jover album. And I want to know your thoughts on this bait and switch, because I'm not crazy. The Spotify pop-up had sixes everywhere. The Apple Music playlists were all Joe songs. Like, I feel like she really marketed this to be, I just got out of a 6-year relationship with who I thought was the love of my life. You guys better sit down and get ready. It's going to be so deep. Like, just get ready. Here's all of these little Easter eggs and things alluding to this relationship, especially with the number 6, like I said, with the Spotify pop-ups. And we've got like 2, 3 out of 31.
I think it's more like 6 or 7.
Yeah.
But still.
I just...
This is the only one that's like, you're losing me vibe.
Yeah.
And that's what I thought the whole album was going to be. And like, not that I'm mad at her for finally telling us she's been dating Maddie Healy for 10 years on and off and in her brain and not.
We knew that though, because we were on Tumblr in the 2010s. We already knew this. This might be new information for everyone else, but we knew.
I didn't know the full backstory.
Yeah, but with like the 1975 songs and like the lyrics and like,
yeah,
like we all like kind of knew, and the songs on this album just kind of confirmed those lyrics basically.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying It's Jover might have produced something more interesting because that was a 6-year relationship, you know?
But would it? Because the songs that we do have all recall to the same themes.
Yep. Yeah. Did you know that he's blue?
So.
Yeah. I'm going to use the color blue again.
And she's dying. She's in a prison. She's in a cage. She is lonely.
Yeah. I don't know.
Anyway, but I do like the song.
Yeah. It's fine.
Yeah.
But Daddy, I love him. I'm going to let you talk first.
Okay. Part of me thinks, and I've heard, that this is love story for grownups, which I think is an interesting theme. I don't know. I just, all I can think about is like the fact that she's like, oh, I know he's so crazy and you guys are so judgmental and like, let me live. And like, it's my bad name to disgrace or my good name to disgrace and all these things. But like, he wasn't just like on drugs. Like, he's a racist. So it just doesn't hold up for me. And I'm trying to like separate that fact from the music. But this is insane.
No, this is insane. This should have been left in the drafts. This should have been an angry diary entry.
It's embarrassing.
This is the one song I messaged in the Discord about because I wanted to save all our thoughts for the episode. And I was like, y'all, what the fuck is But Daddy, I Love Him? Like, given the context of the song and the fact... Oh, and we all know the context of the song because she tells us so frequently throughout the album that he's not a good person. The fact... that she says people were, quote, bitching and moaning about fucking racism. That is not the fucking hill to die on. And also, just like ignoring the fact that this is Maddie Healy, let's just ignore it for like 2 seconds. If you were ever a person and everybody in your life, all your friends, family, maybe you have fans, if all of them are like, hey, this guy kind of sucks. There has never been an instance in all of humanity where they're all wrong and you're right. Ever. I know that at 26, she's 34 years old.
Yeah.
That has never happened. There is never an instance where you're right. Like, oh, I know him, though. I know him differently. But Daddy, I love him. You guys are all sanctimonious and you are worried about the wrong things and you're embarrassing yourselves. You guys are corny. You don't know him like I do.
To play devil's advocate, I could see a world in which, as a famous person, you could feel that way about your fans. Like, we don't know her and we don't know him. And then there, you've got people like publicists trying to tell you things about your love life. And you're like, oh, but like, I just want to love who I want to love, like, and not care about the social ramifications or whatever. But again, he's not just like a drug addict, although he is. He is also racist.
Misogynistic. All of the ist, I believe, probably not homophobic, but most of the ist, I believe. And that's not us guessing. This is on record.
Many times.
At his own fucking concerts.
Many, many times. Yeah.
And we say that as fans of his. To be clear, we like the 1975. That's why we know all this.
Yeah. And I can separate art from artistry.
Yes. There's other people in the band.
Yeah. And sometimes he's doing it for, you know, the attention and the shock value, and he's making statements and whatever. Like, sometimes it's acting or whatever he says. But, like, I don't know. It just doesn't, like, you're not right in the head if you think this is, like, the best way to go about social change.
No, you're not. And he's not.
No.
And unfortunately, people know the context of the song. This isn't some, like, little fling that the world forgot about. People remember that this happened. You know, it's like, we remember.
Yeah.
It's just so lectury and out of touch. Mm-hmm. And like a little offensive.
Yeah, it's out of touch. That's a really good way to put that. Yeah.
And it could be such a fun song if it weren't about Matty Healy and being like, y'all are bitching and moaning.
That's like, and that's funny. Like, I like that line. That's hilarious.
Yeah.
But like,
people weren't just. Mm-hmm.
She anyway. Sounds like him in this song.
Yeah.
Like, saying that your viper's dressed in empath's clothing.
Yeah.
Like, empaths for people of color? I'm sorry. My bad.
Are you implying that we're all racist and we're all just pretending not to be? Because I'm not. It's not a facade. She's like, we're all racist sometimes, guys. Okay.
It's okay, guys. Let's not judge.
You don't know him like I do.
I don't want to.
I already paid I Spice. We're good.
Oh, God. Okay. Anyway. And then also the fact that she like negates herself to later to be like, guys, but I love him. And then later he's like, no, he did end up sucking a lot. And he did like break my heart and go back on all the things he said he would be. And he's not
and
that
he
person.
Ghosted me. Like the fact that she admitted that, like this song should have been drafted. Maybe if this was a typical 10 to 15 song album, maybe this could have been like a bonus CD track.
And we all would have been like, whoa, that's crazy.
But I get why she didn't release it on the main thing. Fine, whatever.
Like,
no.
you're going to put this and The Smallest Man That Ever Lived on the same album and stand
Track
by it?
Track 6 and the first third of the album, she wanted to get it out of the way quick. I stopped listening and I messaged the Discord. I was like, this is not it.
And like, I get it. It's fun song and it does get stuck in my head. And I like the baby line. It's kind of funny.
Yeah.
But I can't.
It just, it breaks the fourth wall too much. Mm-hmm, it's...
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm. She's like looking us in the eye and being like, you're annoying.
Yeah.
Like, all right, well. Okay. I have a hot take coming up.
Fresh out the slammer?
I like it.
I like it too. It's not
okay,
bad.
Cool. I
it's not
like
bad.
It.
I think this might have been the first song I saved.
It's like middle of the road.
Yeah.
For me, but I think it's interesting and. This is the kind of way that I like for her to cheekily say, like, yeah, Matty Healy's always been my end game. I mean, obviously, now we know he's not. But, like, I think this is the perfect way to dabble in that and be like, I knew who I was calling as soon as this ended.
Yeah, and I do think this is a little bit more relatable. It's a little less specific.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's still some very specific callbacks, but it is more relatable than any song we've talked about so far.
And yeah, and I think it perfectly shows like I'll never lose my baby again. Like he's the one and like I'm going back to him and I know what I lost now and I, you know, messed up and all these things. But anyway, I also like the line, I swirled you into all my poems, because I think in many ways on this album, multiple times, she drops the fact that all of Folklore and Evermore was about him. And now she's like, I wasn't making things up. This was about me.
Yeah, do you guys remember when I was mouthing during Cardigan? That was real. You guys didn't just imagine that.
Yeah, and like we all knew somewhere in there that wasn't a lie or a made up story.
Yeah,
but I seriously would not have guessed that Folklore and Evermore were about Matty Healy.
No, gun to my head.
Like if you gave me a million guesses, I would have said it's Harry Styles. It's got to be Harry Styles. How have you dated Harry Styles and Matty Healy, but the one that got away was that little rat? Ugh, that's such a mean thing to say out loud, but like, what the hell? I would have sworn it was Harry.
Yeah, I do think this is definitely more interesting. Again, it sounds like every Jack Antonoff song ever produced. I wish the production was more fun. I wish it was a little bit more upbeat. It is.
It's got a Western vibe, though.
I know. I liked the beginning. I liked the beginning twang.
I thought it was so funny. Yeah.
But then they just never did that again. Like, they could have really leaned into the Westernness.
I think I hear it a little bit throughout the song.
Not enough, though. Like, the production could have been really good on this.
Correct. It could have been better.
The lyrics are actually fun here. I mean, I hate the children swings line. It's like they don't make, I mean, you could say adult swings, I guess, for the sex thing.
Whoa.
But we all know swings are in parks where children's play.
We get the metaphor. Yeah.
We get it.
All right. Now let's pause and take a quick break to hear a word from our sponsors. All right, we're back. Let's get back into it. So, okay, second like high, but okay, Florida.
Florida. Florence eight.
She did.
She I think blew okay. her out of the fucking park.
This was the first song that I thought sounded actually interesting.
Yes, the production on this is interesting.
It's good. The content, like, I see where they're going with it, I think. I'm getting like statement on American ideals and the best you can do is go to Florida, like, I guess, but I don't see where it ties into the verses and the parts about like dead, like all the bodies on my body in a lake, and I'm not following, but maybe I'm not getting it.
I also, maybe this is just me, I kind of feel like it's a little insulting to like middle class people. Did you get that vibe? It's like you're working your life away just to go to fucking Destin. That's embarrassing.
I know.
And we, MK and I say that at people who like grew up going to Destin, Florida. Pensacola is right beside Destin. We're very familiar with the area and the vibes.
And that's why I'm like trying to understand what she's saying, but like yeah. I'm not getting it. Like, is she just calling everyone boring?
Yeah, there are some like really interesting lines like Florida's one hell of a drug, like it is. It's silly. But I don't know. I feel like it's a little insulting. Let me read what she said about this song. I retweeted it on GFOS so I wouldn't lose it. Taylor said, quote, Florida is a song I wrote with Florence and the Machine, and I think I was coming up with this idea of what happens when your life doesn't fit or your choices you've made catch up to you and you're surrounded by these harsh consequences and judgment and circumstances did not lead you to where you thought you would be and you just want to escape from everything you've ever known. Is there a place you could go? I'm always watching Dateline people, you know, have these crimes that they commit where they immediately skip town and go to Florida. They try to reinvent themselves, have a new identity, blend in. And I think when you go through a heartbreak, there's a part of you that thinks, I want a new name. I want a new life. I don't want anyone to know where I've been or know me at all. And that was kind of what that was. The jumping off point behind where you go to reinvent yourself and blend in. Florida.
Okay, I kind of get that.
Yeah.
But like then the timeshare down in Destin line doesn't fit in with that.
I know.
So like are you talking about like American escapism and like
affordable vacations?
Or are we talking about crime? Like, I know,
like, she could have leaned in either way and she's kind of in the middle with this song. And yeah. I don't know, but I did immediately text you, MK, when I was like, it's Destin. it was fucking Destin. This, like, we all thought maybe Miami, maybe Tampa, because at the Spotify pop-up there was a pin on Miami. And I thought, oh, it's going to be about Miami. No, that's just a red herring, I guess. I don't know. Again, I don't know if the Spotify pop-up people even talk to Taylor Swift now with how much they made it about Joe Alwyn. But yeah, it's about Destin. There are some great outlets over there, guys. If you like outlet malls. That's where the closest Abercrombie was to us.
Correct.
We did not have one in Pensacola growing up.
And J. Crew.
Yeah. We did not have one.
No. Okay. Well, I'm confused by it.
Yeah.
I don't hate it.
Yeah, and Florence sounds amazing, and she did not get the typical treatment.
Yeah, and I like their voices together towards the end.
Yes.
But I just, like, I'm not getting it up here, you know?
It could have been punched up a lot.
Mm-hmm. I think they should have leaned in and made it weirder even.
Yeah, way more crime-ified. Let's make some jokes about gators.
Yeah.
Florida man. Lean in. And leave the poor middle class folks of Texas who are just going on a nice vacation with their family out of this. Okay?
Yeah. What's next? Oh, another high. Guilty as Sin. I like it.
Okay.
I think it's a good, nuanced conversation on emotional cheating.
Yeah.
Which is a topic not often talked about in songs, I feel like. And I also like the line, I keep these longings locked in lowercase and vaults, because she's definitely saying Folklore Evermore and all the vault tracks are about Maddie Healy.
Yeah. Yeah. She's like, hey, did you guys forget? I'm going to tell you again.
Lowercase and vaults. But no, I think it's a good song. I like the way it sounds. I think it's catchy. I think this is the one where she uses specifics, but it's still relatable. I like this one.
Yeah, I think sonically it could be a little bit more interesting, but I do think it's some of the strongest lyrics on the album. It's less corny than the others.
Yeah.
I also like the implication that while she was with Joe, she was like masturbating to Maddie Healy. I love how she's like, you know what? I'm going to sing about this.
Yeah, that was
intense. And you know what? Good for her for admitting that.
I wasn't going to say it, but it was kind of crazy.
I mean, we had to. Couldn't let that one slide.
It's insane.
So I like how ballsy that was.
Yeah, that's a good one. Good high for me.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm super intrigued to hear what you think about Who's Afraid of Little Old Me. I'm going to let you go first.
So this is actually the first song I saved from the entire album, track 10.
Oh, you like it.
I like it, but I do think it is because I can relate to it. Because like I also perform, like I'm not like in the entertainment industry, but like I'm on stage with a mic. So this is the first time out of all of these super fucking specific songs that no one in the world can relate to, I got to this one and I was like, I get it.
Okay.
Especially the part where she, where is it? I was gentle till the circus life made me mean. Being heckled in real life makes you so mean. I feel like I've gotten so much meaner as I've gotten older just from being heckled on stage. So just I like it because I can actually relate to it. What about you, MK?
Okay.
I'm guessing you don't.
I can't relate to this. Yeah. And I like her songs about this. I like when she comments on how she's treated and how that changes her, and then we react to it as if we should be surprised, even though she was treated this way by the general public.
Mm-hmm.
I like these songs, and like I feel like it's reminiscent of Antihero with like the metaphors about her being bigger than everyone else, like physically.
Mm-hmm.
I do think it's a little too on the nose. I don't know. Like I just feel like she could have like toned it back a little bit. Like, who's afraid of me? You should be.
Mm-hmm.
Like, okay, why though? Like, what are you gonna do?
Okay, like, why are you gonna sue me?
Literally, like what are we afraid of? I don't know. Like, I get what she's saying and I like the theme, but I think it's just like a little too like, you should be like,
yeah. I was afraid as I kept listening that she's was gonna get too self-referential with like, and I'm on stage at the Eras tour.
I wouldn't have been surprised.
What's that one there? We're going to get to her. She was like, I'm a glittering silhouette on stage. I'm like, oh my God, we know. We were there. Yeah, I like this one.
No, I do too. And I also like that she said, I put narcotics into all of my songs. And that's why you're still singing along. Like, is she saying like, because we say she puts crack in it? Or is she like saying that people are saying she talks about like drugs and alcohol too much?
Mm-hmm.
But like, it's probably both. And I like that.
Yeah. Yeah. This was a high for me. This was actually the first song that I listened to. And I was like, okay. All right. We're going somewhere. 10 songs in.
Mm-hmm. And I do like the melody. So.
Yeah, it's more interesting.
Yeah. Okay. Wait, okay, now that I'm looking at Guilty as, or excuse me, I Can Fix Him, No Really I Can, is this the one that's more Western? I think it might be.
No, I think I was listening right before. Let's just play it real quick.
Oh, no.
That's Guilty as Sin.
Oh.
They all sound the same. It's not our fault. This is the Western one.
This is the Western one.
Guys, you can listen to this album nonstop since Friday, and you can still combine two songs in your head.
Hmm. Okay.
So anyway, take back all of our thoughts on Guilty as Sin not being more Western.
I still like it, but I do think this one stayed Western, like with the like cadence of the chorus. I don't hate it.
I just don't think it's good. I don't think it's interesting.
No.
I find it very weak.
It's a little on the nose, too. And I don't understand how she goes in and out of like, call, like I guess because he's a good boy when she's like having sex with him or whatever she's trying to say. I don't know. I just don't like it. I think it's a little cringy. But I do really like all the TikToks of Maddie Healy looking like an absolute idiot on stage and like dancing like a freak and like whipping his cords around and stuff and just like looking super dumb to the song about how when I tell him he's my man.
Good boy. That's right. Come close.
And he looks really stupid and it's like he's not like, I don't know.
I think this song could have worked if it like, I don't know. It's just boring to me.
Okay. That's fair.
It's not. It's just not interesting.
Yeah. Okay. Lommel.
Lommel. Yeah. So I don't know if you've seen this, but like the Spotify art to this song is the Fortnite music video. So this isn't about Joe Alwyn. This is about Maddie Healy. Again.
It is about Maddie Healy.
We should have done like a dinging sound for every Maddie reference.
Again. And it makes me sad that this one's Aaron because it's boring.
It is. Like, it's not, I can't even picture it or, like, imagine it in my head right now. And I know I've listened to it at least 10 times since Thursday or since Friday morning.
Yeah, it's a little boring. It doesn't stick in your head. I don't know.
What do you think Joe thinks about that song? Do you think he was like, oh, there's a song called Love of My Life? That's about me. We dated for 6 years. First lines. Who's going to stop us from waltzing back into rekindled flames?
And like the suit and tie and the, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. Before we get into the next song, let's take a quick break for a word from our sponsors.
All right, we're back.
I Can Do It With a Broken Heart.
I actually love that song. That's the only one after the first listen that I was like, oh, I remember that one and I want to listen to that again.
Yes.
And I know that she like talks about her sequin silhouette and all that stuff, but I do think it's fun. I do think it's
fun.
The
lights refract sequin stars off her silhouette every night. She pulled out a thesaurus.
I know.
For every single word in this godforsaken album, she was like, all right, what's a synonym? That's two syllables instead of one.
Or four words instead of one.
How can I make this way more complicated than it needs to be? And that's something I want to touch on before we dive into this song more. The use of her big words in this album so frequently makes them lose their punchiness and meaning. Because there's just so many. And not to be like soapbox writer over here, but like you're supposed to use those words sparingly because they pack a punch when they do. And it's like every other line, she's whipping out the thesaurus. And it makes them lose their meaning and become very superficial and uninteresting.
Correct.
Okay. Back to I Can Do It With a Broken Heart. Chorus is great.
It's so fun.
Yeah, chorus is great.
I love the sound. I love the... I don't know how to say that.
I wish the lyrics and the production, like the funness was like this on other songs.
Yeah.
Of course, like... The one like super fun song is like one that like nobody can relate to, but we can all relate to. I'm So Depressed, I Act Like It's My Birthday.
Yes. And I Cry a Lot, But I Am So Productive. It's an art.
Yeah. Yeah. I think the chorus is productive. The chorus is productive.
And like, even though I don't like hit marks, but like I can grin like I'm winning and like hit my marks in life.
Yeah. Yeah.
For yeah.
Sure. It's good.
I think it's really good. The second verse is boring. I wish it was better, but that's okay. I literally just like want to dance around and be like, I'm so depressed. I act like it's my birthday every day.
It sounds like it should have been in the Barbie movie.
Yes. Yes. It's good. That's probably still my favorite song, which is so stupid. Like that should not be the best song on the album.
Yeah. It would not be the best on any of her other albums.
No. Honestly, it's kind of like one of those songs that I feel like I should hate because it's like so bubblegum poppy, but like that's also...
The bar is so low, MK.
Yeah. But it is fun. Like it's like Bejeweled. Like I thought I would hate that one when I first listened to it and then I was like, wait, no, this is awesome. And I am allowed to have fun. Back to the slander. The smallest man who ever lived.
Did you know this song is about Maddie Healy, MK?
Also, I'm sorry, Aaron, again. I love you. Usually... It's kind of boring.
I do think it's a good description of loving someone with an addiction. But again, it's so specific to Maddie Healy that it's just not relatable for anyone. There are certain lines that, like, were you writing a book? Were you a sleeper cell spy? Like, in 50 years, will this be classified? I don't know if you guys know any addicts. They're very secretive. They've never disclosed what they're really feeling. I hope that doesn't sound awful of me, but I love several addicts in my life.
I heard that more as like, were you just like trying to get in on the lore of me so that when in 50 years you can do a tell all about our relationship?
Okay, that's interesting.
Like and write a book, like as in like Dorothea, like all your friends are going to write books about you type of thing.
Maddie can't read.
That's how I saw it. But I think it's interesting, like, I want to like the content. Like, I like you hung me up on your wall and stabbed me with your pushpins mm-hmm. and public showed me off.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
It has a lot of potential. And I don't hate it. I just wish it wasn't so Maddie specific. I wish it was a little bit more just based on loving someone with an addiction. Because that's more relatable for people, you know?
Yeah. Or, like, even loving someone who, like, promised they would change and they didn't.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, this next song, it's tied for worst with the other Travis song.
The Alchemy, I wrote, okay, cornball, in my notes.
It literally is giving, so happy my Travi made it to the big game.
I think she wrote this in 5 minutes, like at a stoplight.
No, I think she heard the TikTok sound of the AI song and was like, no, yeah, I'm going to do it.
It's just so, I think it took her 5 minutes. It's so uninteresting and so on the nose and so specific to Travis Kelce. Like, did you know this is about Travis?
Did you know he played football?
Let me tell you 10 different ways.
Touchdown. Cut him from the team.
Get the crown. Sign me to your heart. Like, beer on the floor. Cheers chanting.
These blokes warm the benches.
Cut the amateur.
I've been on a winning streak. Oh my God. And the heroin, but with an E. Oh, that's like the worst thing I've ever heard in my life.
It's pretty irredeemable.
Oh my God. Yeah. Shirts off. Your friends lip you up over your head. Beer sticking to the floor.
It's
where's the trophy? It comes running to me. Like,
she wrote this in five. No, she put into ChatGPT, write a Taylor Swift song about Travis Kelce. This is what came out. It's so uninteresting.
We were literally making fun of her for potentially doing this online. And then she just did it.
We could have written this.
Someone on TikTok did.
Now, I will say, it was funny when she said, I circled you on a map because of the joke that she put Travis on a map. But I wish that was the only very specific reference.
Correct.
Because that was kind of funny.
If we get a football album, lover football version, I'm gonna lose it. It's just like, and at that point I specifically remember listening to this song and just like dropping my jaw and being like, I don't know her anymore. I have never listened to a Taylor Swift song and thought, this is actually bad.
It's Ray Dunn core.
And I've heard I Forgot That You Existed.
It's like a cup that says cup. Like, did you know this is a fucking cup? Yeah, we know.
Okay, I gotta move on or I'll just get upset.
Yeah, let's talk about Clarabelle.
It's like she forgot like how to write. Like, she's running out of words.
Maybe she's just tired from touring and everything.
Okay, well, stop giving us so much damn content.
Yeah, stop.
I'm done.
We're fine. Like, we're very well fed. No one asked for this. No one was like, do you know what we need? An anthology, a double album. We need 31 songs from you while you're mid-world highest grossing tour of all time. We need that. No one said that.
She's like, she's doubled her what am I trying to say, amount of songs, discography, in like 3 years.
She needs to slow down because it's making her uninteresting lyrically.
And yeah, she's obviously like flexing her muscle too much.
Like, let's have some quality over quantity here, babe.
I do like Clarabelle though.
I like Clarabelle too. I feel like this would be one of the least interesting songs on any other album, but on this album it's a high.
It's, yeah, I like that it wasn't just about her and Clarabelle and their similarities, but it goes from Clarabelle to Stevie to Taylor to I'm Assuming Olivia.
Yeah.
I just think it's interesting.
Yeah, it's, I, It is a high for me, but again, I feel like if it were on any other album, I'd be like, okay, that was cute.
Mm-hmm. Correct. Okay, Clairbo was the last song on the original album, correct?
Yes.
Okay, so now we're getting into the anthology.
Yes, we're starting with The Black Dog, produced by Jack and Taylor.
All right, since we're wrapping up album one, technically, the complete original version of the Tortured Poets Department, we're going to pause because we're already in an hour. If we went all through the anthology, it would be a two-hour episode. So we're going to call it a two-parter now.
For now.
For now. I hope we weren't too negative. I'll tell you, spoiler alert, for me, it picks up in the anthology. So come on back, you know?
Yeah.
Hear the positives.
Yeah, let's talk about Aaron Dessner and the final 31 songs.
15?
Yeah. Like, you guys know what I mean. We've been talking for an hour. All right, we will see you guys for the anthology.
All right, we'll see you on the next one.
Bye.